I tell you, I just can't think of a better place to be than but in the house of the Lord this morning. But before we go any further, I was thinking there, during Sunday school, I was helping my father-in-law study that out this week for Sunday school at church, and then I was like, well, kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about here this morning. If you take a look at the first few verses of Matthew chapter number 17, and it's talking about the transfiguration of Christ there, I got to thinking, sitting back there in the pew this morning, about how great a spiritual event that must have been for those disciples to see the transfiguration of Jesus Christ there on the mount, to see his face shine bright as the sun. I couldn't imagine what a spiritual event that would be to be able to see that, to be able to feel that, to be able to be present for the transfiguration of Jesus Christ and the feelings that you'd have inside of you, inside of your heart, and inside of your soul. The happiness, the love, the joy, the peace of seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ transfigured there. And just keep that in the back of your mind this morning as we begin to preach here. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter number 10. And I want to talk to you about not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together this morning. If you would, stand when you find your place and in reverence of reading God's word this morning. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10, we're just going to read a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you one more time, God, for the opportunity to be back in your house. Lord, we do pray right now, God, that you'd enter in, Lord, that you'd just touch in this service, Father, that you'd be with the message. Lord, that you'd be a seed, God, that it'd go forth, Lord, that you'd give the increase. Lord, I know that it won't return void. Lord, but we do pray that your spirit would dwell among us here for a short amount of time this morning. Father, as we enter into your courts, Lord, with praise in our hearts, Lord, we pray that you'd just touch in the lives of this people, in the lives of this church, God, in the spirit of this church. God, we do pray that you'd go forth, Lord, that you'd do a great work here, Father. Lord, we pray that you'd just be with the lost most of all, Father, that you'd show them the mercy and grace that you showed us so long ago, Father, the love that you showed for us when you sent your only Son to a cross at Calvary, Lord, to die for a wretched sinner like me. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with us as we leave this place this morning, God, that we go out into the world. Lord, that we'd be a light set upon a hill, Father, Lord, that cannot be hid. Lord, that we'd just be that witness that you'd have us to be, Father, as the day approaches of the return of Jesus Christ, Father, Lord, that we'd just gird ourselves about with the things of you. Lord, that you'd just help us, Father, Lord, that you'd be with each object mentioned here this morning. Lord, there's so many around about us sick, Lord, physically and mentally, Lord, they just need a touch from you, Lord, the Almighty Physician. Lord, we do pray for them, Lord. We do pray for those men of God around about us, Lord, that you touch each one. Lord, we pray for a great revival in this area, Lord, and in this nation. Lord, we just pray now that you'd be with us, Lord. Forgive us where we fail you and come short. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it all. For it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I wouldn't rather be in another place, I promise you that. I do not forsake the assembling of God's people together this morning. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. I was studying this out this week and got to reading on the internet about why people don't go to church anymore. And over the last year, there's been a severe decline in the amount of people that see it fit and see it important to attend church individually or to have their families in church or to want their friends to be in church, whatever it may be. And I'm not talking about just any church. I'm talking about a true Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing church this morning, where you can sit down under the sound doctrine of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, not having to worry about being the author of confusion, but where you can come and hear the truth, and you can be a part of the truth, and you can know the truth. Your children can know the truth. Your friends can know the truth. Anybody that hears it can know the truth. But I want to talk to you about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together this morning. That word forsaking there in verse number 25 means to abandon, to desert, to leave in straits, to leave helpless, totally abandoned, utterly forsaken, to leave behind, to leave surviving. I thought about this definition of the word forsaking here this morning and got to thinking about what kind of dire straits the church is in this morning. This day and time that we're living in, it seems like churches are shutting their doors, and if they're not shutting their doors, they're turning their back on the truth. And not saying that this is this church or this is that church or whatever church, I'm just telling you this morning that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We shouldn't abandon each other. We shouldn't abandon the church. We shouldn't desert those that have prayed for us and cared for us throughout the years. We shouldn't leave it in straits. We shouldn't leave it helpless. This is the house of God. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So within these four walls, within the church, we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves. We shouldn't abandon it. We shouldn't forsake it. We shouldn't leave it behind this morning. If we leave the church behind, I can promise you that you're looking toward the world. We know that back in Abraham and Lot's day, that Lot set his tent toward the world. He didn't follow with Abraham. He didn't follow with God. He went towards the world. So he then forsook the Lord. He then left the Lord and his spirit. He abandoned that, and then he went to the world. So I know that if I abandon the church this morning, if we abandon each other, if we leave behind the church this morning, then we'll set our tent towards the world. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I looked at that as that second part there, as the manner of some is. The manner of some of the fake churches that we've got going on in this world today. I'll tell you a few things about the manner of some is, the manner of some of these churches, the manner of some of these gatherings. It's all a social gathering. Amen. And I'm not saying that you can't come and talk to your friends and talk to your family before church gets started. But I've been in churches, folks, since I started preaching a short time ago, where that during the Sunday school teaching and during the preaching of the man of God standing up there pouring a message out from heaven, that people thought it was more fit to sit there and talk to their friend beside of them than it was to get something from the Lord that day. Amen. That's a pretty sad state of affairs there, if you ask me. Where church is a social gathering, the manner of fake churches, the manner of this people is a social gathering where people care more about being seen by other people than they care about being known and seen by God. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible, I can't remember where it is, but it says, "Search me, O God." And if you can't even come to church with an open heart and an open mind, if you're here to be seen by people, how can the Lord search you when you won't even enter in? You're here, but are you here? The manner of some is where people go out of habit and not faithfulness. Amen. A habit is something that you do just out of routine, I guess. Muscle memory is the word phrase I was looking for. When you do something so many times, it just becomes habit. You just continue to do it because it's what you've been doing for so long. And some habits aren't bad, but coming to church solely out of habit is not a good thing. We should come to church in faithfulness to the Savior who died on the cross at Calvary. not simply out of habit, not simply because it's what my mom and daddy did for 30 years, not because it's what my family wants me to do. That's habit, but we should come out of faithfulness to the Lord that gave it all for us. Where people go to talk about help and never receive any help. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you come to church out of habit, not faithfulness, if you come to church just because it's what you've been told to do, you come to church to talk about help, but you never get any help. Amen? Because simply because you are unwilling to open your heart and to open up your Bible and to open up your ears to the Word of God, you talk about help and you go out and you do things, but you come to the house of the Lord and you're as closed-hearted and as closed-minded and as closed-eared as you can be. You come looking at your watch every 5 minutes just wondering how long that man is going to stand up there and talk, how long it'll be till he shuts up so I can leave. Forsaking the assembling of yourself together with the children of God. The second half of that verse says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That word exhort is to call to one side, call for summon, to admonish, to console, to encourage and strengthen by consolation and comfort, to receive consolation and to be comforted, to instruct and teach. I like this right here where it says, by consolation to comfort, to receive consolation, and to be comforted. I looked at that and then I seen the ending part of this verse and it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the clouds when we know that the church will be called up to meet Him in the air. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together at this point in time, church, even more so as you see the day approaching, to console, to be consolation, to be comforted, to give consolation and to give comfort to those around you. Amen. I look at this church, I look at my church, and I think of it as family. Amen. I've got blood family, but then I've got family by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. To me, there's no difference. It's the same people. It's the same family. I love my family that I was born into, but I also love my church family. Amen. If somebody calls on me one day and they need a little help, I'm going to try my best to give them help that they need. If they've lost a loved one, I'm going to try to be a comfort and a help to them. Amen. It's the same with the church. When the church is hurting, we need to be there for one another. We need to be able to give comfort. We need to be able to give consolation. We need to be able to instruct and to teach through those times. We need to be able to receive comfort and to receive consolation. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about church and about your church family this morning. You think about church and you think about Sunday and you think about Wednesday when you come for prayer meeting and you think about, that's it. You think about, well, I got to come to church on Sunday night, and then I've got to come to church on Wednesday. Other than that, I'm a free person. I've got the rest of the week, do whatever I want to go and do as I please. But let me tell you something this morning, church. Church, coming to church takes preparation. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, the word preparation means to make ready. That word preparation, which means to make ready, means that Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that you need to be preparing your heart, you need to be preparing your mind, and preparing your spirit to come into the house of God. You so easily prepare your ground for your garden. You prepare your kids for school. You prepare your food for a meal. Why don't we prepare ourselves to come into the house of the Lord? Amen. Without preparation, you'll come into church and you'll have the same mindset as anybody else. Well, I'm just here for a short period of time. I wonder how long this man's going to talk or how long this class is going to last, whatever it may be. That's not preparing yourself to come into the house of the Lord. If you're unprepared, You will not receive anything from the message. You will not receive anything from church. You say, well, preacher, I've received stuff and I've been as unprepared as I've ever been. That's up to you to decide. Preparation is to make ready. So throughout the week, if you're living in the world and you're out living in sin and you're doing as you please and not making yourself ready to come into the house of the Lord, I can promise you that that's preparing yourself and setting yourself up for failure. And I'm not saying anything about myself or anything about anybody good. I'm just telling you that if you don't prepare yourself throughout the week, how do you expect to come into the house of the Lord and get anything? You've hardened your heart all week. You've lived in sin all week. You've been in the world all week. I can promise you that if you live in the world Monday through Saturday, it's hard. It is hard to get yourself in the mindset. It's hard to get your heart prepared. It's hard to do anything for the Lord unless you prepare yourself. Throughout the week, you're preparing yourself in hopes that everyone else, in hopes that the man of God has been preparing themselves so that when you meet together, that it's this experience that you can't get out in the world. Amen. It's this experience that you've hoped for and you've prayed for, like the disciples that seen the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. I pray throughout the week that when I come to church on Sunday and on Wednesday, that it's an experience that I just can't get anywhere else. Amen. That the Spirit of God just sails in on the place and it moves through the place because I've prepared and I've come expecting the presence of the Lord there. But if I haven't prepared, I won't feel anything. I promise you, I've been there. I've done it. I've lived in the world all week. I've sinned all week. And I'm not saying that I don't sin, but I'm still preparing my heart and mind at the same time. I'm telling you that if you aren't preparing, it's hard to get anything out of a service. And I tell you a few things about what we come to church to do. We don't come to church to have a social gathering, to have coffee and donuts. We don't come to church to see each other. We come to church to be seen and to be known by the Lord. So I'll give you a few things that we truly come to church for this morning. Amen. The first thing being that we come to church to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not saying that brothers and sisters, that you can't praise the Lord when you're outside of this church, but you come to church to praise the Lord with your brothers and sisters. I don't know many of you, my wife probably does, I don't know how many of you see each other on a day-to-day basis, but at church I don't see very many people unless I just see them in passing at the bank. I don't have time to stop and praise and worship with them right there like I would like, but we come to church to praise the Lord with one another as a family, as one together in Christ. And in the Lord, amen. We come to church to praise the Lord, to give Him that which He so rightfully deserves. And we do it together. We come to church to pray to the Lord, amen. Again, not saying that you can't pray to the Lord anywhere else, but we come here as a church to pray together. Amen. Amen. A family that prays together stays together. I'm sure every one of you have heard it a million times throughout your life. But a family that prays together stays together. The church is a family. A church that assembles itself together and praises together and prays together, I promise you, will have a stronger bond, have a stronger love for each other. I promise you, a church that prays together stays together. Amen. You get one person in here that's praying for the church and everybody else is praying for something else. It begins to fall apart. It begins to crumble. We come to church to pray for each other, to simply pray for the church, to pray for the lost, pray for the people around about us. And again, not saying that you can't do that anywhere else but here. But it's good to get together, to assemble ourselves together, to do these things. Amen. If I was to come praise the Lord by myself, if I came here and sang by myself, not another soul in this church would sing, and I promise you, you'd all probably leave. My singing ability is not very good. So if it was just me here singing, it probably wouldn't sound too good. Now I'm giving it my best and it sounds good to the Lord, but it might not sound good to you. So what I'm saying is that we come to do these things together. We come to praise the Lord. We come to make melody in our soul to the Lord together. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we praise together. We pray together. Coming to church takes group participation. Amen. The word participation means to partake, to share in, and I really like this one, to receive a part of. With no participation, you'll never be able to receive a part of it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? You come and you participate. You share in the love of what's happening at the church. You share in the troubles that your family's going through. You share in the joys that have taken place in one another and as in a church. You participate with the church regardless of what's going on in the church. Amen. If you begin to separate yourselves from one another, if you take the left half on my left and the right half on my right, and you begin to have different thoughts and you begin to not participate with the other half, it'll begin to fall apart and nobody will receive anything. Amen. You come to share in the love of what's happening. You come to share in the troubles that are happening in the church. And you come to share in the joys that have taken place in one another's lives, in one another's people, and one another's families. You come so that you can lay these things at the feet of Jesus Christ, not alone, but together. Amen. I think it's good to see when somebody comes to the altar, and then you just see one after another coming, laying a hand on that person. They know the struggles that person's going through, and they begin to come one after another and just lay their hands on that person, and they begin to pray with them. Pray for them. Amen. That's what coming to church is all about, where you can come to see your family. To receive a part of the brotherhood, the fellowship, and to receive help from the service, most of all to receive help from the message and from God. Ultimately, amen. Receive help from God. Amen. Amen. You come to church to praise and to pray, to participate and to partake. That word partake was in the definition of participate, but partake means to have a part in. Amen. These teachers that are teaching Sunday school and these men of God that are coming to preach the word to you, to have a part in what's going on here within these four walls. Amen. If you were teaching Sunday school and you looked up and everybody was just looking down at their cell phone and not paying no attention or reaching over talking to the person sitting next to them, you don't have a part of anything that's going on at that point in time. At that point in time, that person standing there teaching or preaching is just standing up there as you talk to the person beside of you. At that point in time, you've decided that what's going on in your pew is more important than what's going on in this church. Amen. To partake, to have a part in. If you don't have a part in it, you can't receive nothing from it. Amen. Let me tell you what it takes to come to church. It takes your presence. And not just simply just you being here sitting in that pew. It really takes your presence to come to church. You say, well, preacher, I'm here, aren't I? Well, that word presence means presence of mind. It means that the faculties of your mind are in command. That means that you're not easily distracted by what's going on around you, but that your mind is fully focused on what is taking place at that point in time. It means an undisturbed state of thought. It means that though you've lived in the world Monday through Saturday, that it means that you've prepared yourself, and by the time that you get here, your mind is undisturbed by the thoughts of this world. Amen. Your mind and your heart and your spirit are fully present in the house of God. Amen. That's how you get healed. When you show up, it takes a passion. That word passion means an excitement of the heart and mind. Amen. You come in here, you've got your head down, you're sitting there, your spirit's anywhere else but church. You're not excited to be here. It takes presence and it takes a passion. Amen. You've got to have a passion down inside of you that desires to be here, that it desires to be with your family, that desires to get help from the Lord, that desires to be a help to your family here inside the church. It takes presence, passion, promise. It takes a promise. I went a little off course there, but it takes a promise between yourself and the Lord. A promise is a declaration from one person to another. Amen. It's you telling yourself and declaring to the Lord that you're going to clear your thoughts and you're going to clear your mind and your heart. It's not like we go to church every day of the week. Amen. It's a short period of time that you spend in this place. So it takes a promise between you and the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to give it all to you at this point in time. I'm going to give it all to this people at this point in time. When we gather here, I make a promise that I'll give you my all. But not only that, you've got to make a promise to prepare yourself throughout the week. It takes presence, it takes passion. It takes promise, and it takes perseverance. You say, well, preacher, I have no idea what you mean it takes perseverance. Well, the simple definition of perseverance is continued pursuit. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a continued pursuit. You want to know why? Because we live in the flesh, and we can so easily get in this world and forget about assembling ourselves together. Amen. It's a continued pursuit. It's a continued promise. It's a continued passion. And it's a continued perseverance. Because you can do it once, and then you can come back the next week and be as down and lousy hearted and lousy minded as you can be. It takes perseverance. Because we live in the flesh. We live in sin. We can do it once. We can say, boy, that sure felt good Sunday. Going to the house of God sure felt good Sunday. But by the time you get back Wednesday, you could care less about being here. It takes perseverance. Amen. It takes your presence. It takes your passion. It takes a promise. And it takes perseverance. I was reading some commentaries this week, and it said, a Christian is not a solitary being. As sheep are to Christ, the Christian is to the church. He said, well, preacher, what do you mean? Sheep are gregarious animals. That means that they like to be assembled together and grouped together. Amen. It should be a good thing that we gather together to simply get out of the world for a while. Amen. Sheep are a gregarious animal. They assemble together and they group together. And guess what? They stay together. 1 John chapter 3 and 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We love one another. Amen. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. I got a few more things for you and then we'll be done. This is for each individual here. It takes that presence and that passion and that promise and that perseverance, but even deeper, you've got to listen to one another. Amen. You've got to hear what everybody's saying. You've got to hear their problems. You've got to hear their doubts. You've got to truly open your ears and open your heart and listen to one another. Amen. Not saying that you've got to agree with them at that point in time, but you truly need to hear what each other has to say. Amen. And if that person's wrong, you teach them, you show them from this book why they're wrong, but you still listen to them. You listen to one another, you lend a hand to one another. Amen. When somebody is in need, when somebody's in has a need for something or they need help, amen, we got to lend a hand to each other. Church, we got to lean on one another. Amen. We're all we got in this world. If you don't know it, if you're saved this morning, you're an outcast to this world. You've got no part in this world. They want nothing to do with you and nothing to do with what you're a part of. You're an outcast, amen. But I know that when I walk through the church doors, that I've got people that I can lean on when I need something. Next, you need to learn from one another. Amen. There's probably been some men and women that have been in this church longer than I've been alive. There's been men and women that have been saved longer than I've been alive. There's been people in this church that have walked a path that I've never walked before. And I've walked a path that they may have never walked before. We have to learn from one another, church. We have to learn from one another and we have to learn of God. Lastly, at this point, we've got to love one another. The verse says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Love one another, church. It don't matter if you've got a difference in opinion. It don't matter if you like one sports team over another. It don't matter if one of you voted for one president and the other one voted for the other person. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I don't always have to agree with what you agree with, but I love you. When you get out into sin or I get out into sin, you don't have to agree with what I've been doing. You don't have to follow after me and dive into the same sin, but you need to love one another. If you're shaming someone else's sin, you better take a look in the mirror. You better love one another, church. I give you this, even so much more, and so much more, and so much the more, excuse me, as you see the day approaching. We've talked about that day that's approaching is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, put the whole verse together there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So you go back to the very beginning. That word forsaking means to abandon, to desert, to leave in straits, to leave helpless, totally abandoned, utterly forsaken, leave behind, and leave surviving. Amen. When I leave this world, I don't want to leave the church simply surviving. I want the church to be thriving if it's still here. If we're still here, I don't want the church to be surviving. The church needs to be thriving this morning. But, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is soon approaching. We know that we're in the last hours of the last days. So in this point in time, the Bible gives us a specific example, and it says, and so much, and I keep getting getting this wrong. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as the day of the return of our Lord and Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grows closer, we should all the more not forsake the assembling together of ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. We should want to be here more and more and more as the day of the return of the Lord grows closer. You say, "Well, preacher, why is that?" Because I can promise you, the days are only going to get tougher. The trials will only get harder. The temptations will only become trickier and more wicked as the day of Jesus Christ grows closer. Simply this: if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, you're not going to forsake something else. You're not going to forsake the world. If we forsake the assembling together of ourselves as a church, and we leave it, and we leave it behind, and we leave it in bad shape, it's simply the fact that we've gotten out into the world. We decided that the world was more important than assembling ourselves together in a Christ-like manner. So church, don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught out in the world. Don't let the world come through the doors of the church. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God lets us know right here not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves, and even more as you see the day of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ approaching. He lets us know that it's very important that we don't forsake it as time goes on, as the return of Jesus Christ grows closer. He says, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves. It's so important that we gather here in a Christ-like manner. You need each other. We need the ability to come here and to gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. To get help. Even so, much the more as you see the day approaching. You need each other. I'm almost done. You need each other, and you need to be present together. Remember when I said that I've prayed throughout the week, and I've prepared, and I've talked to God, and I've prepared myself, and I've come to church in hopes that each and every other person has done the same. Amen. You need each other, and you need each other to be present, not just here physically. But you need each other to be here spiritually, mentally, physically. You need each other here, church, I'm telling you.
Amen.
You need each other. We need each other as a church family. This is a place that you can come and get out of the world. This is a place that nothing else is going on. We're here solely to gather, to worship, to praise, and to pray, and to participate. Amen. You can come here and you can get out of the world for just a short amount of time. Let me ask you this. Why would you want to bring the world into one place that you can come to get out of the world? Amen. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to bring the problems from the world into this place? And I'm not saying that we don't come to church to give our problems to the Lord, amen? But you still got to prepare yourself for that. Why would you want to bring the ways of the world into the ways of God? Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't let the world transform your church. Don't let the world transform your family. But you should be transformed by the love of God and by the word of God and by the gathering of yourselves together here in this place. So don't let the world get into your church. I'll leave you with this. This is the last thing. Lastly, We know that it takes preparation for church. We know that we come to church to praise, to pray, to participate. We know that it takes your presence, your passion, your promise, and your perseverance. So lastly, I'll leave you with this. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Lastly, it's a work in progress. Progress means moving forward in growth, advance in knowledge, and to make improvements. So I'm not saying that you've got to have it all figured out today, because I sure don't have it all figured out, and I'll never have it all figured out. As individuals, we're a work in progress. We've got a choice to make as individuals. We can advance in knowledge and in truth and try to improve ourselves and improve ourselves in our spiritual lives. Or we can continue to do the same thing. Anybody heard the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Amen. Well, if you're doing the same thing expecting a different result, that's insanity. But if you're a work in progress, advancing yourself in the knowledge and in truth and working for improvement spiritually, that's where you want to be, a work in progress. Once you think you've got it all figured out, you're as far away as you can possibly get. So you, an individual, are a work in progress. You and your family are a work in progress. This church is a work in progress. But church, you've got to decide whether you're going to advance in truth and in knowledge, and whether you're going to stick together and improve, or whether you're going to continue doing the same thing expecting a different result. Amen. Even so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't come out of habit, church. Don't come because your family's coming. Come out of faithfulness to the Lord that saved you. Come out of faithfulness to the Lord that went to the cross of Calvary in hopes that he'd save your family and your friends and those around you. Come out of the faithfulness for the things that he's done for you in your life. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, church. Don't take one another for granted. Lastly, I'll say this. Love one another. Amen. Family's all you got. Family's all you got. The world won't give you any help, I promise. The world won't give you anything but trouble. So keep the world out of your family. Amen. Anybody got a word on your heart before we dismiss?